the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah. This is today's special from IRB English Radio. So welcome, salam and peace be upon all of you. Good moral and good temperateness in Islam is our topic.
To teach us the words of Allah, mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Today, Monday, is the 24th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We'll look at chapter Isra, verse 53.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا
And tell my servants to say that which is best. Indeed, Satan induces dissension among them. Indeed, Satan is ever, to mankind, a clear enemy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Sometimes the believers who had recently accepted the faith following their previous ancient habits used to provoke aggression against those who opposed them. Moreover, those humiliating expressions of the dissidents towards the Prophet, such as sorcerer, soothsayer, poet, and etc., sometimes caused the believers to lose control and raise up against the opponents in a verbal attack. The Quran seeks to hinder them from such things, persuading them to call with leniency and selection of softest words so as to prevent the Satan from inciting corruption.
To see you smile, to see you smile, to see you smile, give it all away. To see you smile, to see you smile, to see you smile. Sight of your smile, so pure and white, just like the moon in the sky, shining so bright. You give me strength, ooh, you give me life. Give everything to anything, whatever will it take to see your smile.
Good morals and good temperedness in Islam we are following in this episode of today's special. Islam teaches us to be good tempered with all people, including one's spouse, children, students. Because the Quran and the saying of the Prophet's households have commanded us to be good tempered with others. According to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, while being good-tempered with others, we must also be careful not to go beyond the limits in this regard, meaning that we must follow moderation in these deeds so that others would not take advantage of it. In other words, being good-tempered can only stop others from taking advantage when supplemented by asking for one's right. At the same time, we must keep in mind that being harsh and having a bad temper differs from having glory and majesty, and we must tell these two attributes apart. And finally, we should know and observe the limits of good temper. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the concept and practice of being lenient to other people. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Certainly you have a very lenient behavior, and had you had a very harsh treatment, I mean harsh behavior, they would have been dispersed from around you. I mean people would have been dispersed from around you. We find that in some teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, we find that he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-Islamu husnul khulq. Islam can be summarized in the beauty of treating others. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, elsewhere Imam Ali alayhi salam, indicated it in this way on one of Sahifat al-Mu'min, حسن خلقه. The title of the believer's profile is his good behavior. Here it must be indicated that each and every word, I mean Arabic word, used in the Arabic versions of these Quranic verses or pieces of hadith, each and every single word in them needs exegesis, needs interpretations, such that in some cases not a dictionary equivalent would suffice. Some people have been educated, I mean, in the families or by the, for example, teachers, to behave so. Yet some other people who may treat other people in such a way that it isn't expected of them, they should practice it. I mean, they should receive enough instructions. And sometimes they must be prohibited. And little by little, receiving this practice, I mean, teaching ourselves how to treat other people little by little, we find it out and we understand that what's expected of us.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Today's a special and a question. With whom should we be good-tempered? Two verses in the Holy Quran explain how Muslims should behave towards different groups of people. This verse of the Quran, chapter 48, verse 29, Muhammad, the Apostle of Allah, and those who are with him are hard against the faithless and merciful amongst themselves. As I said, this verse is in chapter 48, verse 29, indicates that Muslims should be kind and merciful to other Muslims and harsh on those who deny the existence of Allah and the hereafter. However, when Allah orders Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and Harun to go to the Pharaoh to invite him to monotheism, he orders them, "Both of you go to Pharaoh, for he has indeed rebelled. Speak to him in a gentle manner. Maybe he will take admonition or fear." Chapter 20, verse 43-44. Again, in this verse, Allah introduces the importance of soft and gentle speech as an essential means of reaching goals.
It's so hard to explain what I'm feeling, but I guess it's okay, so keep believing. There's something deep inside, something that's calling. It's calling you and I, it's taking us up high to healing. A simple act of kindness brings such meaning. A smile can change a life,
restore. What is the path of good morals? Worship in Islam is not merely comprised of words and movements. Indeed, they are acts of sayings that purify the soul and make life pleasant. Obligations in Islam are intended to allow a Muslim to lead a life of good morals. He must hold fast to such morals regardless of the conditions or situations. The Holy Quran and the Hadith clearly indicate this. When Allah commands the believers to perform salah or prayers, He stresses that performing them prevents one from the bad morals of indecency and evil. Zakat in Islam is not merely a tax taken from the rich to be given to the poor. On the contrary, the primary wisdom for imposing zakat is to instill the feelings of mercy or compassion and to strengthen the bond between the various classes so that they are aware of and close to each other. This is over and above cleansing the soul of the faults and flaws and redirecting the society to a high and noble standard of treatment. For that reason, sadaqah or charity is not limited to giving money, but includes some fine moral characters that contribute to the happiness of the community and its members.
Do you know how much reward Allah gives you just for having good akhlaq? Look at the first hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أَكْثَرُ مَا تَلِجْ بِهِ أُمَّتِي الْجَنَّةِ تَقْوَى اللَّهُ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُوقِ. He says two traits are the most important traits. These two elements are the most important elements that help my ummah in entering heaven. What are they? Number one, تَقْوَى اللَّهُ, fear Allah, stay away from haram. And number two, حُسْنُ الْخُلُوقِ, having good akhlaq. Many people you'll see on the Day of Judgment, they enter, many Muslims, they will enter Jannah, not because they did so many good deeds, so much salah and hajj and ziyarah, but because their akhlaq was very, very outstanding. This is the first hadith. The second hadith from Imam al-Sadiq, فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَكُونُ فِيهِ بَعْضُ التَّقْصِيرِ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَيَكُونُ لَهُ حُسْنُ خُلُقٍ فَيُبْلِغُهُ أَوْ فَيُبَلِّغُهُ اللَّهُ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ. What a beautiful hadith. The Imam says in this hadith that some individuals, some servants of Allah, some believers, when you come to their rituals, they may have some flaws, not the best salah, not the best, you know, hajj, not the best fasting of Ramadan. So their ibadah, their rituals, they have some shortcomings and flaws. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make up for that with their akhlaq. Allah sees that their akhlaq is extraordinary. Then you know what? Then He will fill the gaps in the rituals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them with those individuals that pray the entire day and fast all the time. A true prostrator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them that thawab. So it shows you that if I have any flaws, if I have any weaknesses, any problems in my rituals, then having good akhlaq will make up for those mistakes and those shortcomings.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and congratulations to all on the decisive victory of Islam over the Israelite seditionists at the historic Battle of Khaybar that was won single-handedly by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Here is what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, told the Imam while sending him to conquer the impregnable fortress of Khaybar. Invite them to Islam and inform them of their duty towards Allah and Islam. By Allah, if he guides one single soul through you to the right way, it will be better for you than to own a huge treasure.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have reached the 27th section of this beautiful tradition of Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, and it is quite a lengthy section, so we will get straight into it. The Imam says, O Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recounted that a righteous group of people said, when they realized that their hearts have the potential to veer and revert back to the intrinsic blindness and consequent destruction. So a group of people were guided, and they saw that, you know, they sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they realized that they can go back, that this guidance is not something that is everlasting. Why? Because of ourselves. We, because of our actions, because of certain intentions that we have, for whatever reason, we have the potential to go back. And therefore they said in the Holy Quran, in the 8th verse of the 3rd surah of the Holy Quran, it says, O Lord, do not make our hearts veer after you have guided us, and bestow your mercy on us, for you and you alone are the all munificent. The Imam continues after mentioning this verse of the Holy Quran, only that person who does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he who does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he who does not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never bind his heart to any kind of constant knowledge that he can see and whose reality he can palpate in his heart. That his heart is attached to this knowledge that is constant, that is never changing. And that is what the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is one of the firmest of knowledges, the knowledge and the ma'rifah. That is the deep understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only he is like this whose actions confirm his words. So again, the concept of action and words, our intention and our actions, and whose private conduct agrees with his private conduct. We can be sure that this is the case because God or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not indicated an inner hidden aspect of the intellect except through an outer one that stands for it. Therefore, we see clearly from this tradition that the way we act in private and the way we act in public both indicate a sense of our intellect. If they are not corresponding to one another, that is, our private conduct and our public conduct do not correspond, there is an issue with our intellect. There is an issue with our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be something that needs to be done. There must be something that needs to be fixed in this regard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our intellect, our rational understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make our conducts in private and in public that which both adhere to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانه. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. Cat Stevens, British pop star who changed his name to Yusuf Islam after conversion, has said about the Noble Quran, "Everything made so much sense." This is the beauty of the Quran. It asks you to reflect and reason. When I read the Quran further, it talked about prayer, kindness, and charity. I was not a Muslim yet, but I felt the only answer for me was the Quran, and Allah had sent it to me. Now, dear audience, let's listen to the recitation of verses 38 to 40 of Surah Ali Imran, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Al Banna. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهو قال
وسيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to this segment of the show, Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Surah Ali Imran, verses 38 to 40, recited by the Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Mahmoud Ali al-Banna. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هنالك دعا زكريا ربه. We have the word زكريا. زكريا. The راء of زكريا has a كسرة. Therefore, it should be pronounced with ترقيق, with thinness. Okay? So we pronounce the راء thinly. Okay, we don't pronounce it with thickness, with tafkhin. We don't say Zakariya, it's Zakariya. On the other hand, we have Rabbah. The Ra of Rabbah has a fatha, so it has to be pronounced with thickness, as opposed to the word Zakariya, where the Ra was pronounced with thinness.
قال ربي هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة.
ربي هب لي. هب, the ba has qalqala because it's a letter of qalqala. It's one of the letters of qutubi jad. Qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal. And whenever they're sakin, whenever one of these letters is sakin, you have to make sure that the sound bounces back from its place of articulation. It doesn't stick to the place of articulation of that letter. For example, you don't say habli, habli, you say habli, habli. You allow the sound to resonate in the mouth.
Habli min ladunka, ladunka.
We have ikhfa of nun sakina, where the nun is not pronounced from its own place of articulation. Instead, the letter after it is approximated. Ladunka or ladunka. Kaf is one of the letters that you are actually allowed to make the tongue touch the place of articulation of this letter.
Min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba.
We have ikhfa of nun sakina here.
Dhurriyatan tayyiba.
As you can see, we have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter ta. And at the same time, we have to show the characteristic of isti'la, the tafkhim should be shown while we apply the ikhfa.
Dhurriyatan tayyiba. Innaka sami'u du'a.
Here we have maddul muttasil, which means you have to lengthen it to four or five vowel counts.
فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب. Now we see that we have two more words with مد المتصل. How many vowel counts are we allowed to lengthen these two مد المتصلs? Well, that depends on how many vowel counts you lengthen the first مد المتصل, meaning the word الدعاء. If it was lengthened to four vowel counts, these two words also have to be lengthened to four vowel counts. And if it was lengthened to five vowel counts, these two words have to be lengthened to five vowel counts as well. So this is all about consistency, which is really important in the recitation of the Quran. يصلي في المحراب أن الله يبشرك بيحيى مصدقا بكلمة. We have اقلاب of نون ساكنة, where the نون ساكنة changes into a ميم ساكنة, and the ميم ساكنة is pronounced with إخفاء. مصدقا بكلمة. As you can see, the lips are slightly open when pronouncing this word. مصدقا بكلمة. You don't say مصدقا بكلمة. There should be a small space in between the lips. Well, and that's the meaning of إخفاء of ميم ساكنة. مصدقا بكلمة من الله وسيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين. These are all idghams of نون ساكن. سيدا وحصورا ونبيا من الصالحين. And so we have to apply idgham. That means the نون ساكن is not pronounced. Instead, the letter after the تنوين is pronounced with شدة and also غنة. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this segment of the show, Let's Recite the Quran. I invite you to listen to the next segments of this program.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, in continuing our story on the early Muslim migration towards current-day Ethiopia, we reach the stage of our story where the two dignitaries of Quraysh, that is Amr ibn As, who in Islamic history becomes very famous later on, especially during the Khilafah and the rulership of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, and the other one known as Ammar ibn Walid. So these two individuals entered Ethiopia with bags and bags of lavish gifts for the king and his court. So the first individuals who these two went to see were the people who worked in the court, the advisors, the chaplain, if you like to call it, because these individuals were influential on the decisions of the king. So they went to these individuals with these lavish gifts and presented it to them and started doing propaganda against the Muslims who were there. And we're saying that these youth who are inexperienced, now look what they're doing. They are bringing the age of these individuals down, because as we know, a lot of the early Muslims were youth. It's a very important lesson for us, my dear brothers and sisters, that as a youth whose heart is pure and clean will accept the truth quicker than anybody else, especially if the truth is so bright as the truth that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to them. So anyway, they went to these dignitaries and the chaplaincy and so on and so forth with these gifts and spoke to them and told them that these youths have come, they are inexperienced, they have not have much sense in them, you know, they have left the religion of their ancestors. They have not accepted your religion, nor our religion. They have chosen another religion. Therefore, please send them back with us so that we can, you know, put them back on the right track. So by seeing this, the chaplaincy, the dignitaries, those who worked in the court became very, you know, influenced by these words of the Quraysh, and obviously the presence, you know, played a part in it.
So anyway, this is what they did, and therefore they went and, you know, to Najashi, and they accepted this kind of speaking of the Quraysh. So anyway, what was the call that these chaplaincy mentioned was that they agreed that yes, these youth, this group of individuals, these new Muslims who have come to our land seeking refuge, may have been deviant, may have been misguided. So therefore, it will be better for us to influence Najashi in such a way that he then sends this group of 70 individuals who are under the so-called protection of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam to go back to Mecca and to seek guidance from the elders of those who lived in Mecca, that is the Quraysh. You know, therefore already we see that this group have brainwashed, if you like to say, these dignitaries and influencers, as the term is used today, in the court of Najashi, so that they can then send these youth back with them towards Mecca. So inshallah, in continuing our story of what happens in the court and what Najashi does, in our next episode inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the properties of this tent in our ziyarat. You may remember that there are two important elements in the text of our ziyarat. One of them is testimony and the other is the tent. Up to now, we have counted different
forms of actually stand and different properties. One was friendship and dissociation. The other was peace and submission. And the third one was the pleasure and anger. But among the other requirements of the stand is praying for the triumph of revenge. When the stand is true, and it stems from deep inside the heart, one would beseech Allah through all means for victory of the leader of Muslims and all of the Muslims as well. And among these means is prayer and dua to Allah for the victory of these people.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Prayer is among the best and the finest of all these means, except that it does not dispense one with putting effort, offering, and sacrifice. The content of the prayer in support of the political stand has appeared in various texts of ziyarat reported from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We will give you some of the examples. In the ziyarat of Imam Mahdi, may the Almighty Allah hasten his auspicious advent, we read, O Allah, help him and help your religion through him and help your friends with him. O Allah, manifest justice through him and back him with victory, and help those who help him, abandon those who abandon him, shatter through him the tyrants among the infidels, and destroy the infidels and the hypocrites, fill the earth with justice through him, and manifest through him the religion of your prophet. Brothers and sisters, these are some of the newly discovered aspects of dua. It has recently appeared in the books and articles, and yet there must be more of these articles.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
Part of the prayer for the 12th Imam, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, says, O Allah, you have supported your religion in all times with an Imam who you had appointed for your servants, and as a lighthouse in your lands, after his cord has been joined to your cord and made him the means to your good pleasure. And it continues saying, O Allah, inspire your guardian to give thanks for that which you have blessed him with, and inspire us with the like concerning him. Render him a favorable authority from yourself, and inaugurate for him with an easy inauguration. Help him with your mightiest pillar, brace up his back, strengthen his arm, guard him with your eye, defend him with your safeguarding, and help him with your angels, assist him with your victorious army. And it is really interesting, dear listeners, that the one who is reciting and reading this ziyarah, along with asking the Almighty Allah to help the 12th Imam with these things, he is also understanding that if he is to be one of the followers, one of the true followers of the 12th Imam, he has to strengthen himself in all these aspects. In another part of the prayer for the 12th Imam, Ajallahu Ta'ala Farjahu Sharif, we say, through him establish your book, your bounds, your laws, the norms of your prophets, revive the guideposts of your religion deadened by the wrongdoers, burnish the rust of injustice from your ray, sift the adversity from your road, eliminate those who deviate from your path, and eradicate those who seek crookedness in your straightness. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the true followers of the 12th Imam Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, and the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the life and times of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And I'm your host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. And the expert I have to discuss this, as usual, on the life and times of Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, is Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, good friend, academic scholar, and Islamic scholar as well. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Salam and hello.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, we are looking at the Imam's will.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the analysis, if you like, the thinking behind why is it so essential that we Muslims must be united.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's look at what he said in this quote. Unfortunately, in the hands of conniving enemies and ignorant friends, the Holy Quran, this divine book that is empowered to decide man's destiny, has found no place anywhere except in graveyards and at gatherings of the dead, for the dead, although technically also of the dead.
Of the dead, of course, yes.
The instrument
absolutely,
that was to unite Muslims and all mankind, the instrument that was to unite Muslims and
unite,
all mankind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And all mankind.
Listen, Imam is, you know, it's his last will. So he's being hardcore.
He's very hardcore.
He's not even...
And because when he says all mankind, of course the Quran is for all humanity, for all time.
Right.
Whether we are believers or not is immaterial.
Right. The instrument that was to unite the Muslims and all mankind and serve as the scripture for their lives and salvation has turned into an instrument of division and dispute among men, or it has left the arena entirely. We all witnessed that whoever spoke of Islamic rule or of politics, which is the major role of Islam and its prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or of the Quran and the Islamic traditions, was regarded as one who had committed a grave sin. The term ahunde siyasi, political clergy, came to denote a profound obscurantist.
Right.
These circumstances still exist. In recent years, major satanic powers have, through their puppet regimes, undertaken to reprint and publish the Holy Quran, distorting sacred verses to serve their devilish ends. Such Qurans are published with attractive calligraphy and binding and are distributed everywhere with the aim of eventually removing the Holy Book from all scenes. We all remember the Quran that Muhammad Reza Khan Pahlavi had printed. He succeeded in deceiving some people, including a few Muslim ahuns or preachers who, unaware of the aims of Islam, praised him for it. We note that each year, King Fahd of Saudi Arabia, at that time it was King Fahd in Saudi Arabia, spends a good deal of wealth of the people in printing the Holy Quran and considerable publicity and propaganda material in support of the anti-Quranic ideas, propagating the baseless and superstitious cult of
Wahhabism.
Fahd abuses the Quran, urges negligent people and nations to side with the superpowers. He uses noble Islam and the Holy Book to destroy both.
Very interesting.
And let there be no doubt that, I'm saying this now, this is not a quote, that it is exactly the same way today.
Exactly.
With Abdullah.
With Abdullah and Prince Bandar.
And whoever it is that's going to rule the Al-Saud, because Al-Saud look at Islam as an instrument to maintain their
own